Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
Yesterday in history was a very important day, 20 years before yesterday, 9/11. You all remember that. And then we are thinking about the 20 years later, the exit from Afghanistan. It always calls to our mind that there is a kind of a chaos in the world, that there is a kind of a struggle, there is tension, there is conflict in the world. We're going to be looking at a conflict today, but we're in a series that follows after the walk through the New Testament, where we had 95 people yesterday in this room, all learning through the whole thing about what the New Testament is all about. Everything from actually the period of time right before that, through the life of Jesus, and then the life of the early church, looking forward to what is then yet to come. And this begins a six-week journey for us. We are calling this God's Grand Story. As a matter of fact, there is a guidebook to follow and that continue studying during this time to supplement the sermons that Pastor Dreyer and I will be preaching. And there are some that are still available. Maybe you didn't have the opportunity to participate yesterday, but you can still participate even in the small groups, some in online, some in person, and be part of a process where we are as a church growing together. So today the message is on Showdown in the Desert. Showdown in the Desert. You see the underlying conflict that is there. When that comes out into the open and everything comes to a head, there is the showdown, and that's kind of the typical theme of the old Western movies. And you go to some of the classics, you know, Gunfight and OK Corral, or maybe High Noon. And this has even gotten into the video game business as well. One that was released in 2019 called Showdown Bandit, and it's described this way as a top-down stealth action horror game. And then there's also, since then, Showdown Pokemon Battle Simulator. So today we're going to look at that showdown in the desert between the tempter and Jesus Christ. Now, it's the biggest conflict that there ever was, ever since the fall of Satan from heaven. And now, again, everything is coming to a head, and there's going to have to be a decisive matter here. It's going to be revisiting, like Adam and Eve in the garden, where they messed up on the temptation. It's going to be revisiting another thing in the desert, as the people of God for 40 years were wandering about there. And again, it was a matter of temptation that they were facing continually. So we're going to meet Jesus today in his desert training camp. And as we meet him there, we're going to find out, number one, is that Jesus demonstrates how to succeed in following God's will. And we're going to apply that into our lives, how you can succeed, how we can succeed together in following God's will. Now, yesterday we learned these little things that went along with the different parts of the New Testament, and we had the baptism of Jesus. That was the hand sign for the baptism of Jesus, you know, the coming of the Holy Spirit. But what did that Holy Spirit do? That Holy Spirit and the Father, they commissioned Jesus into his ministry, and then the Holy Spirit led Jesus out into the desert to be, this was the hand sign for tempted by Satan. There he would be tempted by Satan. And you see, the ministry of Jesus, his mission, his purpose of coming to earth would not be thwarted, not even by the cleverest temptations that Satan could come up with. So, because Jesus is headed toward the cross, that's his mission. He has a destination. The cross is his destination. And nothing will stop him But in his quest to go to the cross, he must first pass this ordeal. So he spends 40 days in a wilderness training camp. He is praying and fasting. By the way, it's a good idea from time to time to connect these two, praying and fasting. The value of fasting is that, you know, it not only focuses your mind, but it focuses your body on something as well. And it reminds you almost continuously, you need to be in prayer. You need to be, you know, focusing on God and not the needs of your body right now. Then another thing about prayer. So often we think of prayer as, okay, we got to pray first, get our, you know, that's our preparation. Well, no, actually, prayer is part of the job. It's not just something separate and apart from doing it. That is part of the doing of the job, is being very much in prayer. Now, it's a training camp because it's going to be a matter of discipline. It's going to be a matter of a complete preparation for what's going to be lying ahead. This training camp is important. Now, if you've ever had kids, teenage kids, I've got teenage grandkids, and these training camps have been very important, you know, whether it's cheerleading camp, football camp, lacrosse camp, soccer camp, where they learn more intensely what it is that they want to be accomplishing. And so the training camp is very important. Now, the second thing we find out is that Jesus didn't do this on his own. It says that Jesus was led by the Spirit. Let's go again into chapter 4, verse 1 of Matthew. It says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit in the wilderness. Now, there's a purpose to be tempted by the devil. Being tempted by the devil wasn't something accidental. As a matter of fact, that wasn't something that was just on the devil's mind, but God had a plan through this. So the Holy Spirit is leading him, just like God had led the people of Israel 40 years in the wilderness. Now, it took maybe less than 40 hours to get Israel out of Egypt, but it took 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. And so Jesus now is going to succeed where Israel failed again and again and again and again. So history is going to repeat itself, but it's going to be on a concentrated thing. Instead of 40 years, it's going to be 40 days, 40 days. Now, history does not repeat itself in this, that Israel failed and Jesus succeeded. He succeeded very well. So we're talking about how to succeed in following God's will. Now, thinking of some personal application, let's put a couple of questions before us. The first question would be this: how is God currently testing you, training you, testing your faith? Can you sense that he is doing that? Are there situations in your life, are the things that kind of come to bother you or, you know, concern you, troubles that kind of come your way, say, there may be a test in this thing that's going on. A second question would be, when the tests come, do you fail more than you pass? Are you passing the test? Third question would be this: in all of this, can you indeed sense the move of God in your life? You know, that what God is up to in the universe is not just something big and cosmic out there, but it's right down into the very fiber in the core of your life. Do you sense that God actually is concerned about you, loves you, has a plan for you, and is working that out because he wants to do a work through you? So if he's calling you to a great task, then you know that you should expect to be tested. And you might, because why? Because Satan would feel threatened. When you've said, okay, God, you know, we sang, you know, like, I surrender everything to you, Lord, you know, I love you, Lord, all those things. And then if we really meant it, if we really were, you know, saying that to the Lord, then you can expect that there will be some tests because Satan feels threatened by that. So with a great task, expect a great test, because untested faith gets pretty wimpy, doesn't it? Now, the testing is there to teach us trust. Testing teaches trust. Now, Martin Luther had a neat little thing where he said there are three things that are important for our faith to grow. And they, in Latin, they were oratio, meditatio, and tentatio. Now, these three things, okay, oratio, that's prayer. And God wants to increase our faith, increase our strength as we come to him in prayer. Meditatio is we meditate upon him and upon his word. You know, we need to have, by the way, the substance of the word. That's why we did walk through the New Testament, so we can gradually and step by step grow in having that word inside of us so that we can have that meditation. And the third, the tentatio, means like tension. It's that stress. And God uses. Now, God doesn't send the stress into our lives, but God will allow that stress to come into our lives. And not to avoid it, but to be strong in the face of that. So faith that is not growing is faith that just stays stunted, and we grow through the Word of God. Well, there's a third point here to make, and that is that Jesus, throughout all of this, in his training camp out there in the desert, he stayed on task. Training helps us to stay on task. Now, we frequently get tempted to lose focus, to go off mission, but it wasn't that way with Jesus. He stayed on mission. You see, his mission was to come to this earth, go to a cross because he loved every one of us. That was his purpose. Back then, to do something that would affect your life today so that today, this very day, you could walk out as a free person, free from the burden and the guilt of your sin, your failures, and all of that. So let's go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, where it says, "The tempter came and said to him," okay, this is the first temptation, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Now, this was not a matter of a question, but as far as Satan was concerned, he knew from way back who Jesus was, and he knew that he was the Son of God. And Jesus knew he was the Son of God. That wasn't what was up for grabs, but what it was is to act off mission and not in concert with the Father and the Holy Spirit, to compromise his Trinitarian identity and existence, and then to use his sonship in a way that was inconsistent with his mission to go to the cross and die for us. Now, I guess if I'd been Jesus, I don't know about you, but I guess if I'd have been Jesus, I might have thought something like this. Well, surely as God's son, I've got the right and I definitely have the power to take care of all my physical needs. After all, I'm human. Yeah. So what's so bad about turning stones into bread? You know, where's the big sin in that? What's so wrong there? So you see how clever the tempter is. And remember the context. This is 40 days. Of fasting, and then he comes when Jesus is at his physical lowest spot. So he has to completely rely on divine resources. Jesus may be physically weak, but he is spiritually, he's never been stronger than this. He is not weakened in that regard. He is led by the Spirit. He relies on the Spirit, and during his temptation, then he never acted outside of the Holy Spirit's guidance or the Father's will for him. Now, again, some questions you might want to apply to yourself. Do you ever feel or ever get tempted to fill your needs and to satisfy your desires in some way that is apart from God's principles and provisions? You know, when we have needs that need to be satisfied, we need to go to God. We need to allow, and then his provisions and his principles need to be guiding us. Another question then is, are you then willing to follow the Holy Spirit step by step? So often I might want to say, okay, show me what you want me to do, without saying at the start, and I will do it. But show me what you want me to do, then I'll decide whether I want to do it. That is how we tend to go. And so what is God telling us in all of this? It's really pretty simple, and that's apart from the Holy Spirit. you're not going to really be successful against temptation. And another thing is that sometimes the Holy Spirit will allow testing to take place even when we are at our physical and emotional weakest. Why? So that we can learn to trust and depend completely on Him. That's what He's after. That's part of our desert training camp, isn't it? Yeah. And we all have that desert training camp from time to time. So how did Jesus handle it? This is our fourth point. This is the last point, but it's the longest one, I'm warning you. Okay, the last point. Jesus answered, "It is written," just like, you know, June Ward had written down there, "Do not touch the cookies or you're dead meat. Do not touch the cookies." God has told us, you know, what we are to do, what not to do, but better than that, He has given us the empowerment to resist. Now, Jesus used the scripture because the scriptures have immense authority. You see, the Word of God does what the Word says, and it's powerful in our lives. But you know what? The devil used the scriptures as well. Now, the Bible can be used for righteous purposes, and then sometimes it can be misused for unrighteous purposes. You know how it goes? You find a verse that'll justify what you're doing. You know it's wrong, but you say, "Oh, but there's a Bible verse that goes with that." It reminds me of the time, as maybe a generation or two ago, where there was this traveling salesman, and he's out on the road, and he gets kind of lost, and he gets further and further out into the hinterland, and the roads get worse and worse. This is springtime, and during the day up north, in the springtime, the roads get really, really mushy, and you go down, and pretty soon he was down to the axle. Couldn't get out. So, what do I do? Got out of the car. He saw there was a farmer in the field over there, and the farmer had a tractor, and it was going just fine. So he waved at the farmer, and "Hey, come on over." He said, "Yeah, can I help you?" He says, "Yes. Could you pull me out?" So attach the chain to the front between the front bumper and the hitch on the back of the tractor. Vroom, 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 and pretty soon, you know, he pulls that vehicle out of there. Everything's good. "Oh, thank you so much." Farmer says, "That'll be $100. Now, back then, $100 was not $100 today. That was a lot. Well, he had made a few good sales that day, and he happened to have $100 in his pocket, but now he's on his way. Well, the people in the neighborhood and neighboring farms heard about that. And you see, this guy was a member of a church. It was a pretty strict church. And they'd heard what had happened, and there was some concern, and so they made this farmer appear before the elders and give an explanation. And the only way you could give a proper explanation was to give a Bible verse. And he said, "Okay, we know what you did. Do you have a Bible verse for that one?" He says, "Yep, I have." He was a stranger, so I took him in. Now, that is obviously misuse of the scripture. Now, using it in its context and using it as God wants us to use it, it is extremely powerful. As a matter of fact, Jesus would be the perfect one to use the word because Jesus is the word. He is its very substance. The word is all about him. And Jesus is the one who was sent on a mission that was aimed at every single one of us. But in order to complete the mission, you know what he had to do? He had to go through this quest, which was to overcome temptation. And in that, to have perfect obedience to the Father and be in perfect fellowship with the Holy Spirit so that he could offer up the one and the only perfect, sinless, spotless life. The spotless Lamb of God who could take away the sins of the world. And that is the one that went to the cross, and it had to be like that for it to be a sufficient covering for our sin so that we could actually know and be certain that we would have forgiveness of sins because the sufficiency is in that perfect Son of God, not in us, but in Him, and for us to look to Him. He succeeded in every trial, every temptation. We have failed, but now he says, "I'm sharing my victory with you." And so in the days of his flesh, the Son of God relied upon the Word of God. And he didn't just kind of know some verses that he could toss around and throw out, but he was so totally involved in it, and he applied it. And the goal of the message that I'm sharing with you right now is for us to learn to rely and apply the Word. To do that, we have to know the Word so that we can mature in the Word and be strengthened in our Christian faith and our Christian walk. Now, just like with us, Satan tried this on Jesus. Hey, how about food, fame, and fortune? Yeah, food, turn the stones into bread. Fame, jump down from the top part of the temple. Fortune, oh, all those kingdoms of the world, they can be yours. All you have to do, just a simple bend of the knee, and you've got it, and you've got it. Well, kind of an unholy trinity of temptation. Now, for each one of those temptations, Jesus used the divinely ordained weapon, the sword, the Word of God, surgically sharp. And with that sword, it was sufficient then to fight the toughest of temptations. So what's God saying to us in this? That He is the only source and substance of soul satisfaction. It is not food. It is not fame. It is not fortune. It is not fads. It is not fashion. It is not fun. But He gives to us the deeper kind of satisfaction, the only kind of a thing that will really fill that God hunger that every one of us has inside of us. So God is also saying in this that His Word is true. It is powerful for resisting the empty promises of the tempter. He has the authority. He has the power. And if we put His Word into our hearts, guess what comes with the Word? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes right along with that Word and supplies our defense weapons and our offense to successfully fight against temptation. So, conclusion. To accomplish the mission of bringing salvation to the world, salvation to each one of us, what did He do? He had to go through that desert experience, that desert showdown. And He had to go through it when He was at His physical, at a time when He was weakest physically. And that would make Him mission ready. The mission, go to the cross for us. To do that, He had to rely on the Word and the Holy Spirit and be committed to obedience to the will of the Father. And so for us to be successful, we need to follow that example of Jesus so we can overcome temptation. So we're on a journey. In one way, we're on a journey for 6 weeks here at Ablaze to go through some of the high points of the New Testament. But we're also on a lifelong journey, aren't we? And what God's Word teaches us today, we need to have ready in our lives for the rest of our lives.